This is tape 4 of the 6-tape series, Pulling Down Strongholds Through Prayer and Fasting. For those who would like, we will share information on how you may obtain material produced at Shiloh Place Ministries following the message. We'd like to encourage you, before entering into a fast, consult a physician. There are those who suffer with certain physical problems to whom fasting may be detrimental, so please, consult your physician.
The practical aspects of fasting, and we looked at the theological aspects the first two times together, and now let's move towards some of the practical stuff, and we'll try to make room for questions and answers maybe before the break and also later on. But let's read a couple of scriptures. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, or the people cast off restraint, Proverbs 29:18. And then in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Another good verse. Next one down, Psalm 15, verse 1 and 2. "O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell in thy holy hill?" That's what really we're after in fasting. That has to be the primary motive behind fasting, to abide with the Lord, to abide in his house, to dwell with him in his holy place. Who may dwell there? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. And when we're preparing for a flat fast, we need to also consider Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things." The whole key to success in fasting is found, at least within my life, has been found within the preparation and the season of preparing for a fast. Fasting is something that you begin to, I like the phrase Clark Taylor uses, muse in the spirit. It is something that we begin to just meditate on. It's something that just begins to come in our thoughts. Now, I'm not talking about a one-day fast here on the preparation. The one-day fast, you can usually just get up in the morning, "I think I'm going to fast today." And that's good, and there'll be benefits from that. But I'm speaking of a perhaps longer fast, anything 3 to 5 days. I consider a long fast pretty much 7 days or more. And try to do at least two of those a year, and we'll see why before the day's out. But it's something we begin to meditate on. It's something we begin to desire. We're not satisfied where we're at, and we want more. And there needs to be, as we begin to meditate and muse upon this, there needs to be a preparation of our spirit and our soul, a preparation taking place if you want to have the success and if you want to receive the reward from the fast. And the first aspect of preparation is fasting begins with an awareness of our need to do it. It begins with an awareness that the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you over a series of days or weeks or months. Again, I'm not talking about just getting up in the morning and say, "I'm going to fast 24 hours or 36 hours. I'm talking about if we're going to move into a longer season of fasting, you'll begin to be wooed that way. When I was preparing and for the 40-day fast last year, I went through 6 months to a year of all I could see was 40-day fast, and I kept hearing it. I kept wanting to fast 40 days. I talked to my wife about it, and she'd talk me out of it every time, and "You can't do that. You're too thin." And I'd never at that point gone over about 2 weeks. And so in January of 96, I went into a 21-day. Said, "Well, I'll move it from 2 weeks to 21 days. And I just, even through that, I just want to fast 40 days. And I had several conversations with pastors, and each pastor saying, "Boy, God's speaking to me to fast 40 days, fast 40 days. And I said, "Man, that's a confirmation to me." You see, you'll begin to get confirmation here. Maybe somebody places a book in your hand or someone else says it to you, and they're calling you into this longer fast, because a longer fast has got to be prompted by the Spirit, or you'll never make it. And he'll leave you with a sense of failure. So you're gathering these things. And then I was with Avis Hammond last January, and I was about 15 days into a fast. And he's saying, "Well, how long are you going?" And I said, "Well, my wife's holding me to 21 days. And there were certain things we hadn't heard. There was some stuff that I hadn't heard before about fasting. And he says, "Well, have you read about Bill Bright calling the nation to a 40-day fast?" I said, "No." He said, "The way you were talking about 40-day fasting," and Avis had been one of my fasting buddies, and gone into retreats together twice. And he said, you're talking about everything's in this book. And he handed me the book. And I said, my goodness, a 40-day fast. You know, here's how you do it. And I didn't know how to do it. And here's how you do it. And that was the word. And now how am I going to convince my wife? You know, and at the same time, somebody else gave me some tapes by Mark Berkler on Go Natural. The book's in the book list at the back of your book. And one chapter in there was on fasting. And I was listening to the tapes, and it said the average 160 to 170-pound man, the average man's 5'10", 160, 170 pounds, can fast 60 to 90 days with no physical repercussions whatsoever. And you'll know exactly when, if you begin to go into deep, deep hunger pains, you'll know you're into starvation and start eating. I said, that's it, man. I'm at that point, I was about 210. I'm 210 and 6'5". I'm the average man. I guess I can go 40 days. And I made my wife read it. See what it says? You know, I can do it. And so then I knew. See, there was that awareness that was going on in me. There was this wooing. There was people coming and talking to me about it, and I began to see, you know, God is calling me into a 40-day fast. If it's a spirit-led thing, there is going to be grace to do it. If there is a flesh-led thing, I want to do it because I appear more spiritual. Or I want to do it because Jack did it and Mike did it. Then there'll not be grace, and oh, boy, you're going to have 40 days of hell. If I can use that word, because fasting, when not spirit-led, is some of the most terrible days of your life. It is very painful, very agonizing. So there's something wooing you in the spirit towards that, calling you in the spirit towards that. It may be a health crisis occurred, that immediately if a health crisis comes, I know that that's going to be a God-ordained fast right there. That might just be a means. It may be a financial crisis. Any financial crisis comes to my life, I go right into a fast. I don't need to be the spirit to be made aware of it. As soon as financial comes, Tricia says, you going to fast? I go right into a 3 to 5 day fast with financial calamity or financial crisis comes. Health crisis in the family, same thing. Ministry crisis, I move right into a fast. I usually prepare a couple of days, which will look at some of the physical preparations. Or it might just be a deep hungering for more of the Lord. God, I'm just not satisfied where I'm at. I just want more of you. I just need to set myself apart. I need to rest. I also try to choose the first week of every year. I've been doing that for about 7 years now. I Daniel fast all through December, and I don't recommend other people Daniel fast unless just God does. I have a spirit of gluttony. And you put me around chocolate and sweets and candies, I don't know when to stop. I can't just choose one. But if I've got a commitment to the Lord for a Daniel fast through December, then I can be around all the candies, I can be around all the stuff, and I just don't go crazy with all that, the sweets and everything. So I just Daniel fast every December to prepare me to go into a long, and I do a long fast every January. That's my solitude, my retreat time. I don't make it legalism, I don't think. I haven't felt that it's been legalism. I just know I'm desperate for a word for the year. Desperate. When you do what I do, I've got to know the voice of God for that year. Let's go on to the next point. I forgot where I was at anyway. Number two, develop a clear and defined vision and purpose. You're not moved into the fast. You're in the preparations. What is the purpose? What is it that God's trying to get across to you? What is the vision? Why do you feel He is wooing you towards that? In this, remember, there's usually, once someone said last night, ask, is there more than one thing? Yes. Usually there's four or five things. But what is the primary? The primary is almost always the same. What is that? The humble ourself and to seek God. You can't seek God without humbling yourself. The only reason you don't know Him in the degree that you ought to know Him is pride. And we'll see that before the day's out. That is the chief thing that's got to be dealt with. Humility and seeking has got to be part of it. But then what's the reason for the fast? All right, I'm seeking wisdom for the entire year. January, seeking wisdom. Get you a journal. I usually have a fasting journal. Sometimes God says, like in September, I did the first 12 days of the month fasting for Israel. He went in there, just do no journal, no nothing. just go in there, and I just went in the fast. I don't even know how long I'm going. I'm just going to fast until the Lord says it's time to stop. So you don't make a law in a rigid thing, but usually I have a journal. And the Lord said, went through 12 days, got up one morning, you can start eating again, but just stay on raw fruits and vegetables for the next 30 days just for Israel. So the first 12 days of the 41-day fast that was called for Israel across the world was just a normal fast. But then the next 29 days, the next 28 days was just raw fruits and vegetables, all I had, all for Israel, laying it down for Israel. It was, the primary was I was seeking God, but the secondary, we were praying for the peace of Jerusalem, of Israel, and the fast was all about. Some prophet, an intercessor, got a revelation of the scripture that said, Jesus said to Jerusalem, you'll not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they realized, the Lord can't come back until Jerusalem calls him blessed. So they called a 41-day fast for the scales to be removed from Jerusalem so that they begin to recognize the Messiah and revival comes so that the Lord can return. That was the secondary reason behind the fast. And it was a glorious, glorious time. So in that, if you, I would suggest beginning with a journal. If you're looking at the secondary reason, especially if the secondary reason is for strongholds, or what it says in Isaiah 58, for bonds of wickedness to be broken off your life, you need a journal. And all I'll do is I'll just go out and get me a little spiral notebook. And on that spiral notebook, I'll write down, what is God saying? Why is he wooing me to the fast? What is he bringing me into this? And I begin to build this thing in the spirit. I begin to build the reason for it in the spirit realm, meditating upon it. Here we see it in Habakkuk 2, verse 1 and 3. I will stand on the guard post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what is the Lord speaking to me about this thing. I'm feeling this wooing. I'm feeling him saying something. What is he saying to me? And how may I reply when I'm reproved? Because there's going to be correction coming the fast if it's a God-ordained fast. Then the Lord answers me and said, record the vision. Write it down on tablets, that the one who reads it may run with it. I've got the vision there, my quiet time each day. I've got my journal down. I've got in front of me what I'm going to be believing for the rewards for, number three. And I'm sitting there. The vision is yet for appointed time. It hastens towards the goal. It'll not fail, though it tarries. Wait for it will certainly come, and it'll not delay. Usually he gives me one or two scripture verses that I've got at the forefront of this fast. I can go back through and show you journals of the week-long fast I've done, the 10 days, 12 days. What's the sins that he told me to repent of? What's the strongholds he wanted broken in my life? And walk right through. I can give you the daily feelings, what all went on in my life during that time. Sometimes there won't be any journal recordings for 3 or 4 days. But then other times there'll be pages and pages, depending on the amount of solitude I have during those days. If the fast was during one of my solitude retreats where I go away and sit for 5 days and be alone with God, we'll talk about later, then the journals are filled with all types of stuff. I'll fill up an entire spiral binder with the voice of the Spirit just speaking to me. That's my newsletters over the next month. That's my messages over the next month as he's speaking to me and revealing these things. You may find in shorter fast of 1 to 3 days that you spend very little time preparing at all. It's just you may wake up in the morning or you may say, well, I think I'm going to fast this day. Some people, Derek Prince, the day he began ministry 50 years ago, and he said when he began ministry, I'm going to fast one day every week. And so he began over 50 years ago, fasting one day every week. That's 50 years, 50 weeks, almost 50, 25, that's over 2,500 days of just a day a week. And not only that, he's done 7-day, 3-day, 5-day, 7-day, 14-day fast. He was one of the ones that called this 41-day fast for Israel. And to him, it didn't take any preparations for that one-day fast. He just knew, well, every day, this day of the week, that day is he's going to fast. Now, what that does is train your body. That you just know every Monday, your body begins to build a habit. Every Monday or every Sunday or whatever day it may be, there's just not going to be any food coming in. And your body begins to move into that habit mode. That's not been comfortable with me. I tried that for 3 or 4 years back in the 80s. And for me, it just wasn't a comfortable process. Other people, that works great. What works for you? Don't do it the way Derek does it. Don't do it the way Jack does it. You find what is it the Spirit's speaking to you. My thing is I like a long fast once a month. I like 3 to 5 days every month. That's the way that I'm more comfortable with. I get more out of a fast in 3 to 5 days. Others get more out of a fast of 1 day every week. So what's comfortable for you? Right now I'm in 7 days once a month. I do try to do a 7-dayer once a month in 1997 because that's just the crisis that the ministry's in right now, transitional and growth crisis we're in. I'm doing that just to survive because I'm in a desperate season right now. Now, because of that, I've been living in the Daniel fast almost the entire year because when you go into a 7-day fast, it is good to preempt at least a week of Daniel fasting before you go into a 7-day fast. And we'll talk about that why later. See the reward, number 3, very important. See the reward coming to you in advance. There's 2 major rewards that will come to you. First one is related to the primary reward. I know when I fast, this is going to happen. I know humility and brokenness is going to come into my life because it's promised. When God says He's a rewarder of those who seek Him, and my primary focus is break me, O Lord, dangerous praying. But I want Him more than I want pride. I want Him more than I want myself life. But in that, see the secondary rewards. What are the secondary rewards? And know that God, everything in Him, wants that to happen. Set the goals, write down the rewards as a confession of faith. Because I'm big in the faith. I may not teach on it much, but I'm a faith person. You live around me, you'll find out I know more about faith than most faith teachers. Because begin to confess and believe what is going to come to you. Set your faith to believe that strongholds of pride are going to come down and be replaced by humility. I believe it. I know it's going to happen. I know how to bring down strongholds in my life through fasting. I've seen it happen over the years and years. Bonds of wickedness are going to be broken. It's not only going to be broken in my life. They're going to be broken in my family's life. God is going to move powerfully. I don't have to see it during the fast. I don't have to feel like it during the fast. During the fast, it usually gets worse. Mm-hmm. You need to realize that. It gets worse because Satan is doing everything to destroy and stop you from fasting. He knows it's an untapped weapon in the body of Christ, and when somebody does tap in it, and we said it last night, then he twists and he perverts it so you focus your mind on the rewards and not on the brokenness. You've got to keep that primary focus. He will try to twist you. He'll blindside you. He'll try to deceive you to get you more excited about the rewards than the humility in seeking Him. Heavy burdens are going to be cast aside. Wounds and words that have inflicted upon me at the hands of others, they're just going to wash away and forgiveness come. My heart's going to become more focused on Father's love. I'm going to learn how to sit in His arms. I'm going to learn how to lay in His lap. Revelation of the Father is going to fill me. Light and glory is going to fill me. Healing is going to flow to me. Now, usually there's 1 or 2 areas that are the secondary rewards that I know this is what He's calling the fast on. But even in that time, Isaiah 58 verses 6 through 10 are at the forefront of my mind. I read them every day during a fast. This is going to happen. I dissect them. I break them down. People wondered, how did you break down Isaiah 58 like that? During fast. Never seen it written anywhere. Never seen it in any other book. Broke it right down. This is what's coming to my life. I'm believing for it. You can look back through my journals and find this whole outline in my journals. Was I writing a book? No, I'm trying to get free. I'm trying to get free of all the voices that I hear. Because I hear them even still today. I'm trying to hear one voice more sensitive than any of all these other voices. And again, that's part of the whole reason for the fast, is just hearing. That's what seeking God is all about. It's the last chapter. If we've got to skip some things today, we are not going to skip that one. It's all about hearing, not talking, not interceding, not spiritual warfare. Because all you need is one word from God and you'll sail for the rest of your life.
Yes.
You'll fly above the cares of this life. How about getting many words?
Yes.
That's why I don't know how to pray. I just really don't know how to pray. I just don't know how to talk to Dad too much, you know. But I know how to lay in Dad's arms. I know how to hear him. In that, you just really don't have to say anything. You know. But others try to pray enough to get there. I just get there and I don't have anything to say. I'm just with my dad. So I'm not much on prayer. It used to drive my wife crazy. We'd get in there, she'd want to get in there and rant and rave, spiritual warfare, and she'd say, "You're not praying right." I just want to lay here and just be with my dad. I just want to be in his presence. So now my wife, she doesn't want to pray much anymore. She just wants to lay there. She gets jealous of what God's been doing. But see, does he not know what's there in your heart? I try to make prayer and seeking God about 80% just listening. Every now and then I'll say a little something, or worshiping. Worshiping's a big part too. But become convinced that your season of fasting is going to transform your life. I am convinced. I cannot fast even one time and it not somehow impact and transform my life. I know it's going to happen because I'm convinced of what Isaiah 58 says, that reward's coming. Determine the kind of fast you're going to enter into. Is it going to be a total fast, normal fast, Daniel fast, partial fast? Is the pastor calling the church into a corporate fast, which is a very common thing throughout the Old and New Testament, calling the whole body, calling the whole nation, calling a group of believers into a fast for a reason? Determine what kind it is. This may best be determined by the purpose of the fast and or the desired goals or rewards you seek to obtain. What are you looking for? If you're looking for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and revelation, Daniel fast brings that. Are you in a time of major crisis and sickness and death all around you? Total fast. You know, you try to determine the depth of crisis, the depth of need, what you're looking for. More desperate the circumstance, then the more desperate the things I'm going to have to do to obtain the required results. I recommend most people start out with a partial or Daniel fast if you've never fasted before. Then your body, your soul learns to adjust to the lack of the pleasures, the lack of whatever may be there. Most fasting I do abstain sexually. Not all, most fasting I do. Again, I ask the Lord, where can I go on this thing? Because I'm realizing I'm trying to shut down the voices, but sometimes God says, that's okay. Now, because I live a Daniel fast, whenever I'm Daniel fasting, I usually do not combine the sexual activity with the lack of sexual activity there. It's usually during a normal fast or a total fast. I can share with my kids in advance. I sit them down. Even in the preparations, I feel God calling me to another long fast. Oh, no. But I let them know, and my wife and I talk privately. You know, this is what I feel the fast is going to be. This is what I feel he's saying. And I just don't know if I can handle this right now. And if she lets me know she can't handle it, then I pray a little longer, because there's a great sacrifice on the part of the wife or the family when you go into long fasting. There are going to be some difficult days. We'll look at that. Determine the length of fast and the starting point. What is going to be the starting point? I write it down in my journal. What is going to be the finishing point? I write it down in my journal. That's the target I head for. If you're going to shoot an arrow up here at this sign, what are you going to aim for? You know, I need a bullseye there. What am I aiming for? Here's my target point right here that I'm seeking to aim for. Do I always do this? No. But usually, I will do this. There are times God just says, just go into fast and I'll tell you when to quit. Even as I said, I don't always do that. Usually when there is a major primary objective, I've got it all down how I want to do this. I don't always follow this pattern, though. A Daniel fast, usually a Daniel fast minimum would be 7 days for a Daniel fast, but in the book of Daniel, 3 weeks was what they fasted. But 7 to 10 days at a minimum, 3 weeks before any major, I'm fasting more than ever before, but used to before any major situation, I'd do a 3-week fast. Any decision-making process, 3-week Daniel fast. Again, just fruits, vegetables, and in that, you know, you can have steamed fruits and vegetables and beans, bean soups and things like that. But no sweet things. You do not want to run 10 miles before you learn to run 1 mile. Start small. Caution and danger. Caution and danger. If your body has not been used to fasting, if you've not been used to just eating fruits and vegetables as a lifestyle, and your body is overloaded with sugars, caffeine, and toxins, then do not go over a normal fast over 5 days. Because what has happened, and this is in the chapter on restoring your health, your body has been overloaded with caffeines, with sugars, with chemical additives, with the additives to the beef and meat. Red beef has 105 chemical additives to it. Chicken has 50 chemical additives to it. These chemicals are known, and it is proven fact that they are built up and they reside within every cell. You go into a fast. What happens is the acidity rate of your body begins to increase radically. And these toxins cannot drain off fast enough. One pastor friend of mine ended up almost on his deathbed, almost died after 10 days of fasting. He had, did not prepare his body. He wasn't used to fasting. He was a junk food junkie. His body was loaded through all these chemicals, but he's hearing about fasting, the rise of fasting across the earth right now, and he went into a long fast because he heard another friend did, and he was going to do the 40-day Bill Bright fast. He didn't make it. He almost died. And the doctors told him, your body could not handle all the chemicals that were beginning to rise to the surface, because as soon as you go into a fast, all these toxins start being released within your mouth, within your urine, within your body. Your body sheds an average of 2 pounds of fluid a day, your skin does, and all the toxins start coming out then. On longer fasts, I've had my whole back ate up with just sores and rashes. Usually hits about 25 days in a fast. Your mouth can be filled with sores. Your tongue as white as can be. All the toxins coming out. You can help cut back on that by taking a half a teaspoon of sea salt a day. If you don't have enough sea salt in your body, you will get mouth ulcers if you don't have enough salt in your body. You're taking too much water in, not enough salt, that causes the acidity rate to go down within your body. So very big caution, don't go into long fast if your body's overdosed with toxins, overdosed with the chemicals, until you've Daniel fasted for a season. The Daniel fast will be agonizing for you because you've not learned to adjust your body to getting off of these chemicals. You do need to know that most disease in your body is a result of these chemicals and toxins that have been there for a whole lifetime. I basically have no illness, have no sickness. I used to be known as one of the sickest person. In fact, in Bible school, was called the sickest person on campus. So my denomination was not even going to put us in ministry because they couldn't pay for it. I have not been sick in probably 7 years. A cold hits me, does not last 24 hours. The average cold lasts 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks. Do not get the flu. I just don't get sick because my immune system, through fasting and nutrition, is at the maximum efficiency that God created it to do. Greatest defense for cancer is fasting. Cancer is a result of an overdose of protein within each cell, and the overdose of protein literally mutates that cell, and a healthy cell now splits into 2 unhealthy cells because there's been too much protein in your body. What do you think burns when you go on a fast? The excess toxins, the excess proteins. We're getting into the chapter on restoration of health, so I'm getting ahead of myself. My suggestion, I already covered that, is for someone that's never done a normal fast, start doing a Jewish fast. This Jewish fast is sundown to sundown. That way you really don't miss a day without a meal. You just go a 24-hour period fasting. You go from sun goes down right now at 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock, I'm not going to eat. That would be my first normal fast I'd try if I'd never done a normal fast. After you've been successful at that, maybe a couple of weeks or a month or two down the road, all right, I'm going to go a 36-hour one and prepare a day or two of Daniel fasting and then go get up in the morning and don't eat till the next morning. That's really been a 36-hour fast from supper one night on around, and that's a good starting point on fasting. And God will bless you radically. You'll get as much blessing out of that one day as I would get out of 7 days. You need to know that. You'll get just as much blessing out of one day as I will out of 7 or 10 days, spiritually related. But then as you learn to grow into that, you'll learn to, each time, strongholds will be coming down, and you'll learn to be able to go longer and longer and longer. Now, the sixth thing is probably one of the most important aspects of fasting. Begin to purify your heart and motives by cultivating a heart of confession and repentance. This is one of the primary issues of the fast. You're coming to a place that what darkness is in me. 1 John 1:5, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. How can you walk in the light, fellowship in the light, walk in intimacy with God, when we've got darkness that still dwells within us? So what the fast is about exposing our darkness. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 days, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And how did He humble you? He humbles you by letting you go hungry, be hungry, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. That's why I believe we've got to move past Daniel fasting, start there, or start partial fasting, move to Daniel fasting. Now we need to move into some normal fasting, because we need to move into that. There are places of your life that will never be humbled until you're hungry. That's what this verse is basically saying. And so what I'm after is humility. I'm after that place of humbling myself. Fasting's meant to humble us by testing us so that we may discover what is really in our heart. Some of us were humbled just by the partial fast of no TV for September. And we're sitting there at night and we're in withdrawals, you know, and we got this thing going on. We're finding out what's in us now, you know, and it's even that's a source of humbling ourselves. It causes us to search our heart. It causes us to bring us into confession of sin, to walk out repentance. It's a time to identify, and here's the biggie, to identify and put to death sins of presumption. Boy, and I like Derek Prince's definition of presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins are those that we commit when we presume our conduct is acceptable to God, when in fact it offends Him. And God will not reveal these sins to you unless we deliberately choose to humble ourselves and invite God to search our character and to lay bare our innermost motives. I would write that verse down at the beginning of your fasting journal, not verse, but that quote. God, I am inviting you to come in and reveal the darkness in me. I think I'm doing pretty good right now, but the fact that I think I'm doing pretty good right now reveals that I got pride in my life and there's sin in my life. Because Paul said, I'm the chief of all sinners. As soon as you start thinking you're doing good, watch out lest you fall. David, man after God's own heart, who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. I like that phrase. See what presumptuous sins do? They rule you. They control you. They manipulate you. Remember, they're sins you don't even know is there. You presume you're all right in God's presence. You presume you're righteous. Is that not what happened in Isaiah 58, verse 1 through 4? And God says, I don't accept your fast because you presume to be righteous. You declare to me, you've done everything holy and righteous. We're a holy nation. No, you presume that, but yet your fasting is even sin in my eyes. Let them not rule over me, then I shall be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. Therefore, I pray often during the fast. In fact, every day it's part of my meditation, and as just Psalm 139, verse 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Just reveal, show me, reveal, expose to me any wicked way. That word wicked means any hurtful way, any harmful way within me. Where in my life do I misrepresent Father's love? When people see me, do they see Jack or do they see Father? Any way they see me, and they don't see Him, as sin in my life. Anything that steals the peace of God in my life is sin in my life. anything that causes me to get restless and anxious and striving is sin in my life. Fasting begins to destroy these things, begins to break them down as they begin to get exposed within our life. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I'm not aware that there's any sin. That's the sin of a presumption. That's the sin of believing you're right with God. Unconditional sin, you may hear this again, unconditional sin is one of the greatest hindrances to receiving the blessings and reward promised during the fast, because confession and repentance are foundational to fasting. Without it, rewards are slim. I have found that the rewards of the fast are directly proportionate to the depths of confession and repentance I enter in. And if I fast and there's no confession and repentance, then there's very little rewards. Because fasting is to be a time of humbling ourselves. 40-day fast, when I went on last year, started about 5 days into the fast, I started remembering every little sin that I committed against my wife and children. I'm talking things 10 and 15 years ago. Back during the days where I never made mistakes, where I was always right. And I remember that, and the Lord would say, write it down. And literally every night for 40 days, I'd have to sit down with one of my children or my wife and go in and sit down and just say, you know, God reminded me. One of my children reminded me, I had to sit every child down, and God began to show me how many times you cried at night and I didn't come to you. Dad sinned against you. Sarah started getting up in the morning. Dad, are we going to cry again today? Probably so. It went beyond 40 days. It lasted 3 months. The spirit of repentance was upon my life. But not only that, the presence of God was just, it was like I couldn't even walk into a room. And you heard the story of I forgot his name. Oh, Finney. That Finney would walk into a room and people would just fall on their knees and begin to repent. And then Wigglesworth, He walked onto a train, and one person came up to me, my God, your very presence convicts me of my sin. During that time, my life began to become like that, that there's people who'd come up to me and, what is there about your life? They said, there is something radiating from your life. Literally strangers, and at times I'll have strangers just sitting in a restaurant, just come over and what's different about you? Now, I don't want to say, well, I've been fasting and I'm holy. But what I realize is when you go into a state of brokenness and confession and repentance, not only does it transform your life, but people can't even be in your presence. Now, there are those that then begin to attack you. That you're too holier than thou, or you're too this, you're too that. And you don't mean to be. You just that are such a point of brokenness. And humility is just a willingness to be known for whom we really are, a willingness to talk about any sin. I don't withhold anything, any thoughts, any sins I battle with, any temptations I battle with. There's nothing to hide. One of our team members, Doug Jones, at first began to travel with me. And first time he went out on the road a few years ago, and I got real open in a meeting. He caught me afterwards at the motel room. Jack, what is the matter with you? I can't believe the things you said about you and your wife. Do you have no shame? No. And now he has none. You see, fasting begins to bring that to life as we're willing, okay, as things begin to seem in our life that we've sinned against others, we have to go to them. During some fast, I've driven 250 miles just to sit down with someone and say, I need to ask you to forgive me. God brought something to the light, and I didn't want to do this by phone. And just literally got in the car and said, Trisha, I'll be back tomorrow, and just drove one trip. I went on a 2-day whirlwind tour of just going to see some people and asking, would you forgive me? And not all fasting is going to require that of you. This is after years of fasting, years of strongholds and bonds of wickedness come down. God's beginning to say, it's time to go deeper, son. It's time to go deeper. How much of him do you want? And all fasting requires us coming into this level of willing to be exposed, willing to be hidden. The next page, here's some of the sins that we see that are there. And this is only a few. Time didn't permit for me to write all that we could have written down. But the greatest sin of all, you may see this again, the greatest sin of all is that of pride. No greater sin. It was the original sin of why Satan fell from heaven. It's going to be your greatest single battle. I love what Andrew Murray says in the book Humility. Every major fast I go on, I've read this book 20 times. I've written this book out almost verbatim during a fast because you remember much more what you write. And I get down and I sit down and just write out this little book as I'm going through the fast, every little sin within my life. How many desire to be loved? Mm-hmm. All desire to be loved. All indifference to others' needs. All indifference to others' feelings, including your wife and husband and children. All sharp and hasty judgments and utterances. All manifestations of temper. All touchiness. All irritations. All feelings of bitterness. All feelings of separation or isolation have their roots in pride. Pride ever seeks itself. You know, this is part of every long fast I do. When I say long, 5, 6, 7 days, even 3 days, I'm reading through chapters in there. I'm writing out the sins of my life. I'm recording those sins down. Make sure you write down each of the sins that are being exposed in your journal. And next to that, I usually write a scripture out that I need to counteract this sin with the Word of God. Pride is the hardest of sins to detect within your life. Pride hides. Pride steals. It deceives. It's hidden like a stealth bomber where your radar can't pick it up and find it. And what happens probably the most, you know, the more humble you start getting, the more you notice other people aren't very humble. What's that called? One of the greatest traps of pride is humility. The more whole emotional you start getting, what can you see in everybody else? The lack of wholeness within them. What's that called? Pride. You see why it's one of the greatest things that we have to deal with. As we move into greater levels of humility, pride enters in. As you move into greater levels of emotional healing, pride moves in. As you mature more in the body of Christ, pride moves in because they're not as mature. There's not a day that goes by I do not confess the sins of pride. Usually 3, 4, 5, 10 times a day. If I'm fasting 20 times a day, my watch beeps every hour just so I repent of pride. Every hour I do little checkups when I hear that watch beep, and I'll sit there, oh Lord, I went and sat back in the motel room and laying there for a while, and it went off at 11 o'clock and it beeped, and it just reminded me, God, the pride that's in my life, God. The joy that you take of being seen or being heard, just little things. Do you blame others or God for your problems? That's rooted in pride. Are you more concerned with what man thinks than what God thinks? That's rooted in pride. Do you think more about what others ought to do for you than what you can do for others? That's rooted in pride. Do you think others should be the ones to change first and not you? That's rooted in pride. Than others, you're more whole than others? That's rooted in pride. Paul was the least of all saints. He was the chief of all sinners. Do you walk in any sins of unforgiveness and bitterness? If you do, make the list of the people or the places or things that you're bitter against. Because this needs to be part of the confession and the breaking of this thing through the fast. You can do a nice little fast with no results. Or you can enter into a fast, and what was the title of this? That pulls down strongholds. It costs you more to pull down plot strongholds. It has to change the way that...
This concludes side one. Please turn the tape over for side two.